If you have a Bible, please open it to Romans chapter 3. If you don't have a Bible, that's perfectly fine. You should have received some notes on the way in. And if I only had 20 minutes or 25 to share with you, I would tell you what I'm about to tell you. And in these next few moments, I would like to share with you what I believe to be the most important message in life. I've entitled the message today, The Cure. I think you'll know why in just a moment. And I hope that we'll just kind of collect our thoughts and receive this in just a few minutes. I heard about a little boy named Danny after Sunday school. He was proudly showing his parents a picture that he had drawn of church. And he'd really done a good job. He drew the pulpit. He drew the pastor. Everything was very, very colorful, wild colors, in fact. But the pastor's eyes were not colored in at all. And so Danny's mother said, Danny, why didn't you color pastor's eyes? And the little guy said, well, it's pretty easy. I didn't color his eyes because when he prays, he closes his eyes. And when he preaches, I close my eyes. And so I hope you'll not do that this morning. I hope these next few minutes you'll stay alert and listen. And I think all of us have known through this year that God wants to do something. And we want to hear him. We want to hear from God during times like this. And I hope these scriptures will be a help to us today. Some tougher news and then some better news. So listen to the whole message. But let's read Romans 3:23. And it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation, we'll define that in a moment, through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just, and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Let's gather together and let us pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to pause and recognize those who have served so wonderfully this year. Again, we pray your blessing upon their lives and their families. And now we ask, as we open the Bible, that you would speak to our hearts and give us truth that we might act upon in this hour. And I pray in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Well, as you can tell by now, we all gather here from different backgrounds, different cultures, different jobs, and most of us are fairly comfortable in cultures of our own understanding. Those with medical backgrounds, they're comfortable around medical equipment and in the hospitals, and our police officers and sheriffs, their deputies are comfortable in the squad cars and going into their environment each and every day. And I hope that you'll all feel comfortable here at Lancaster Baptist Church as God has brought us together this morning. But even as some are comfortable in maybe a hospital setting, they would not want to drive, say, a squad car each and every day. They would feel a little bit uncomfortable in that environment. And others who are comfortable around a sheriff station, you probably would not want them to put an IV in your arm if that was the case, if that was the need. Above all, every one of us would have to say this morning that we have times in our life when we're around these different cultures and environments, and we really just need to get some context to try to understand exactly what's going on. Years ago, I did a few ride-alongs with some of our deputies, and right at first, all the codes would come out. It would be a little confusing, and you're trying to understand what's happening, and you'll maybe hear there's a 415, and you're not sure what that is until you see some guys fighting, or you'll hear them call out maybe a 211 or something like that, and you'll know later that it's a robbery, or the one I'm told is called out the most, a 273.5, felony spousal assault. Isn't it sad that one of those that's called the most is husbands and wives battling against one another? And that's why people need the Lord and need a good church. But you hear those terms, and if you're, you know, kind of a layman in that squad car, you're kind of trying to figure out what all is going on. You're trying to learn that culture. I think we especially feel the need to understand when it pertains to our health. You know, we want to know what's being said and what's going on with respect to our health. We want the doctor or the nurse to kind of break the terms down for us and help us to know what's going on with ourselves or with our loved ones. I remember back in December when I was diagnosed with COVID-19, I went to Colorado for my mother's funeral, and was not able to see her for 8 months before she went to be with the Lord because of COVID-19. And finally, we went back for the funeral, and many people, as they called it, a super spreader type thing, had COVID from that time. And I remember driving all the way back to California, feeling terrible, and going into ER over at AV Hospital. And as I went in, they did one of those quick tests. How many of you have had the joy of having one of those tests right up the nose? Isn't that a blessing, having that? And so they did that, and a few minutes later, they came out and said, yep, you've got it. And so they began to tell me what they were going to do, and they said, this is what they were going to give me. I've got to put it up on the board, because it was BAM, Leniv Imab. And if I didn't say it right, doctors, don't tell anybody. And so suddenly I'm now trying to figure out, okay, what is BAM Leniv Imab? And I want to get the context of what's happening. They said, oh, it's something that we're going to put in your body over the next 45 minutes with an IV drip. I'm like, okay, but what is it? They said, oh, that's easy. It's a monoclonal antibody. And I'm like, okay. A little more information. And then they begin to say, well, it's a laboratory-made protein that mimics the immune system's ability to fight off these dangerous antigens. And so I'm sort of getting a little bit of an idea of it. And all of us have been there. You know, what's going on? What are they talking about? What does this mean? Well, this morning, I'm not qualified to diagnose you physically. And by the way, neither are any of the pundits on the major TV stations. I'm not really qualified to tell you what's going on medically. I won't try to do that this morning. But let me say this morning, the Bible is very clear when it comes to our basic needs in life. The Bible speaks to those issues. I like what President Ronald Reagan once said about the Bible. He said, indeed, it is an incontrovertible fact that all the complex and horrendous questions confronting us at home and worldwide have their answer in that single book. And so this morning, I want to share a few principles from this great book that I believe will give us perspective. Because the Bible tells us that so much of the hurt and the hate in our world really derives from a sin problem in our lives, in our culture, and in our world. But the Bible not only shows us the problems, it also gives us the cure. And so we're going to break down a few terms, and hopefully this morning we'll leave here with a better understanding of God's message to each and every one of us. I want you to think with me, first of all, about the cause of separation in this world. Why is it that so many things are breaking apart? Why do we see oftentimes a degeneration in our society, and spiritually even, we see disconnectedness and families that are separated one from another? Well, the Bible speaks about it. In verse 23, the Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now, that's kind of a basic verse, but let's just say it together, shall we? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, you know, it's common for us to wonder, why are these problems existing? It's like wondering, where did that sickness come from? Remember when we were at that stage, everyone wanted to know the origin of COVID-19 so they could work on the cure of COVID-19. Back in January of 2020, there was a doctor in China, Dr. Li Wenlong, an ophthalmologist. You may have heard about him on the news at Wuhan Central Hospital. He noticed 7 very strange cases of virus, and as he studied them, he thought they were closely related to SARS, and it turns out they actually were. They also were related as coronavirus. What he did not know was that he had discovered this brand new virus, this coronavirus 19. And sadly, less than 10 days after his discovery, he became ill, and 3 days after he went to the hospital, he was the first to pass away with coronavirus. Everybody wanted to know, what had he learned, and what were other ideas or indicators of this virus? So what is the cause of so much of the hate and abuse in our world? Well, the Bible would indicate that the cause is sin. For all have sinned, the Bible says, and come short of the glory of God. It's interesting, in Romans 5:12, the Bible says it this way, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned." Now, we don't have time to study the whole book of Genesis, but some of you might remember that God created male and female. Novel thought, but that's what he actually did. And their names, the Bible says, were Adam and Eve. And God brought them together in a beautiful ceremony, the first wedding ceremony in world history. But Adam and Eve made choices. Adam could be referred to as the federal head of the human race. And some of their choices were against God's plan and God's revealed will for them. And they sinned. And the Bible says, by one man, sin entered into the world. Now that's difficult news, but the good news is, but by one man, Jesus Christ, forgiveness comes into the world. And that's where you find God's forgiveness for each and every one. The Bible is clear that sin is a universal problem. How many of you have noticed that children are sinners? Maybe not your grandchildren, but other than your grandchildren. I have 11 grandchildren. They are not sinners. They're just struggling along in obedience. But you don't have to teach kids how to sin. I mean, they figure it out quite easily. I heard about a man that made a phone call the other day to a house, and a little boy answered with a whisper, and he said, "Hello." And the man said, "Is your mother there?" And the boy said, "She's busy." And he said, "Is your father there?" The little boy said, "He's busy." He said, "Is anyone else there?" The boy said, "Yes, a policeman and a fireman." "Well, can I speak to them?" The boy said, "They're busy." The man said, "Well, what's everybody doing?" The boy said, "They're looking for me." You understand. And of course, parents are sinners. We parents sometimes transgress. Heard about a man that was in a hurry. He had his 8-year-old in the car with him. He does an illegal turn. And as he does this illegal U-turn, he looks in the mirror. He says, "Uh-oh, I just made an illegal turn." And the little boy said in the back seat, "It's okay, Dad. The police car right behind you did the same thing." Not good. Kids are sinners and parents are sinners. Republicans are sinners. Democrats are sinners. Red, yellow, black, brown, white, it really doesn't matter. In fact, you know, just from God's perspective, there's really one race, the human race. And from God's perspective, it's a fallen race that needs redemption. And that's why the Bible says that God sent his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, preachers are sinners. Preachers, the Bible says in 1 Timothy 1:15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. The Apostle Paul said, I needed Jesus more than anybody needed Jesus. All of us are sinners. Cops are sinners and doctors are sinners. I'm not trying to be negative. I'm just saying there's this universal problem. I remember years ago I was going to go out and visit I believe it was Rockwell, maybe Northrop. They were working on the space shuttle over here at Plant 42. And so the guy that was going to take me said, "Now, Pastor, this is a real high-end deal." He said, "Everybody has a high-end security clearance. I mean, you've got to really be checked out before you can even go in and make the visit." And so they said, "We need your social security card." So I gave him my social security card, and I didn't know what all they're going to check. Maybe my tithing records at the church. I wasn't sure. You know, I was a little nervous about it. And finally, a few weeks later, they came back, and they said, "All right, you passed. You're going to be able to go in and see all of this. But remember, everybody that works here has really high security clearances. I mean, they are as clear as you can get." I said, "Okay." And I was really a little bit nervous about it. And we go in, and Congressman, you flew in these fighters, and we walk in and we have to walk through metal detectors. And I said, "Well, why are we walking through metal detectors? Why are all the employees going through metal detectors?" And he said, "Well, just, you know, in case they steal anything or take anything home from the tool crib." I said, "Oh, and they have the highest security clearances in all of the United States of America. Doesn't that make me feel good?" And I said, "Why do they have those plastic clear bags with bringing their lunch in these clear bags that you can see through?" And he said, "Oh, that's so that, you know, no secrets are taken or nothing." I said, "Oh, and they have the highest security clearances of everybody in the United States of America." Now think about that. Why is that? Because of the depravity of man. All of us have that potential. All of us have fallen, the Bible says. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Sin is universal. And the thing about sin, it separates us primarily from God. Notice what it says here. It says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Sin has this way of separating. I remember as I was diagnosed with COVID, I mean, the minute they found out, Ed, that I had COVID, they took me away from the waiting room, from all the others in the ER waiting room, and they took me through this little plastic kind of an area that was closed off, and they closed it when I went through, and I sat in a green chair with other people who were there in that space of confinement because they wanted to separate anyone with that virus from the general population. And you know, that's what sin does. Sin causes people to be separated from one another, sometimes from families. Sometimes people are incarcerated and separated because of sin. Our deputies see it every single day. Friends are separated because of sin. But the worst separation is that we're separated from God. We don't have a closeness to God when there is this sin nature. Romans 6:23 even says the wages of sin is death. It's the ultimate separation from God that results in a man's sin. And so all of us need to start there and realize how much we really need the Lord. Maybe it's illustrated here with this just to simply see that if as a man I want to have a relationship with God, according to Romans 3:23, what's keeping me from having that relationship is the fact that God is holy and I have sin in my life, and by my nature I have sin. And so the cause of separation in this world is sin. But I want you to see, secondly, the good news, and that's the cure. What's the cure for this problem? You know, that's what we always want to know. The truth is, we definitely have a sin problem. And I'll tell you something, and someone said it earlier, we are for our police today. You'll never hear me calling for a defunding of police. I appreciate what you said. We need to defend the police, not defund the police. But the fact is, the police cannot cure sin. They're only dealing with the symptoms of it. They're dealing with the externals. Only Jesus Christ can cure sin. The Bible says there is none other name given under heaven, given among men, whereby we must be saved. It is the name and the work of Jesus Christ. That's why at Christmas time we read this verse, Luke 2:11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. The reason we need a Savior is because of the sin problem. If our greatest need had been education, God would have sent an educator. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent an economist. If our greatest need had been science, God would have sent a scientist. But our greatest need was salvation, so God sent a Savior to bring the cure for our sin. Now, let me tell you something about this cure. When someone turns in complete faith to Jesus Christ, Jesus will justify them. Now let's break that down. Look at verse 24. Being justified freely by his grace. Now here's one of those terms, like when you go to the doctor, well, what does that mean? Let's look at justified for just a minute. Justified, it means to be declared in a right relationship to God through Jesus Christ, all right? Let's say that together. Ready, begin. To be declared in a right relationship to God through Jesus Christ. So justified is to be declared right with God through Christ. Now, let me show you how amazing this is. And if you have the little notes there or you want to look in your Bible, 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9 says this, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Now, how many of you would just say, that's heavy? I mean, the Bible's saying these people, some of those things, maybe some of us say, I've done some of that, are not going to inherit the kingdom of God? That's heavy. But look at the very next verse. And such were some of you, but you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so God says, look, it doesn't matter what you've done, covetousness, abusers of yourself, it doesn't matter, fornication, adultery, whatever it is, he says, let me tell you what the church is. The church is just a bunch of sinners saved by grace, people who have found what it means to be justified before God because of Jesus Christ. And so we see that it doesn't matter what your past holds. What matters is this, what will we do with Jesus Christ and his finished work on the cross? Jesus justifies, and by the way, he justifies freely. Did you see that in verse 24? Being justified freely by his grace. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now think about that verse, the gift of God. God is not asking you to earn your salvation. It is a gift that he has already paid for. It is free to us, but it was not free to him. He went to the cross. He shed his blood. He endured excruciating pain. The most horrific pain that one could ever experience on the cross of Calvary is what Jesus endured in order that we could receive this gift called justification. Now, back in December when I had COVID, we tried real hard, Terry and I, not to spread it. I didn't want to spread it to her, but as things worked out, we both came to the place where we had COVID together. And they had told me, you know, when you get home, they said, wear a mask. Have your wife wear a mask. Have her stay at one side of the house. And we did. I stayed in the bedroom, and once or twice a day, she would bring me my food like a prisoner in prison. She'd give it to me under the door, and she'd run away from me. But with all that precaution, she got it too. And we really learned how, you know, COVID separated us. But now she got it. And here we were, December 27th, our 40th wedding anniversary, and we're in bed with COVID. And we had other plans. You know, I was planning a little more romantic time, and I had actually purchased Terry a beautiful band to kind of go by her wedding band for our 40th anniversary, and I was going to give it to her maybe at a restaurant or whatever. And I'd talked to my daughters about it, and we picked out just the right one. So I got up off my chair and I went over to the closet where I had it, and I put that ring on her finger and I told her how much I loved her, and she appreciated it, and she was excited about it. But if I would have said, now Terry, this thing cost bank. And for us to afford this gaudiness, you're gonna have to get a part-time job. And if I would have said, and by the way, it'd be nice if you'd throw in like a couple shoulder rubs a day just to, you know, help me with the stress. If I would have said that to her, at the moment I asked her to do something, it ceases being a gift. It's no longer a gift if she has to work for it. Ladies and gentlemen, religion says, do. Jesus says, done. It's really important to understand that salvation is really a gift. It's all of grace. In fact, that's what it says in verse 24, justified freely by his grace. He gives us freely this salvation. And I ask people all the time, do you know for sure that heaven would be your home someday? And everyone normally says something like, well, I sure hope so. But God wants us to receive a gift and to know surely that we possess his salvation. He wants us to know it's free. He wants to give it to us by grace. It's not something that we deserve. John 1:17 says, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus was born of a virgin. He lived a perfectly sinless life. He was tempted in all points like we are, but he never sinned. And yet, for his love for us, he went to the cross of Calvary. And there the Roman soldiers placed the nails through his hands and through his feet and the crown of thorns upon his head, and the spear through his side, and the blood came flowing down. For the Bible said, without the remission of the shedding of the blood, there's no remission of sin. And Jesus shed his blood and paid the price. He became our first responder. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus Christ came to bring the cure for sin that no church and no religion could ever bring. Jesus brought it when he shed his blood upon the cross. That's why he came. You see, the cause of pain and separation is from sin. The cure of sin is found in the work of Jesus, in the justifying work of the cross of Jesus. And then I want to say as we close this morning, what is the condition of the saved? That word saved is a Bible term. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's a Bible word. I hear people in Hollywood make fun of it. It's because they're not saved yet. They don't know Christ. But when you know Christ, that word saved has meaning to you. It means I've been redeemed by his blood. What is the condition of the saved? Well, after someone accepts Jesus Christ as their Savior, once they ask him to come into their life, the Bible tells us here in verse 25, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, speaking of Jesus. The first thing that happens when someone accepts Jesus Christ as their Savior is that their sins are covered. Their sins are covered. Now, here's another word, just two vocabulary words today. One is justification. Here's another one, propitiation. It's kind of a big word. If you look at it, it has a great meaning. It means to turn away anger by offering a gift to cover or gain favor. Jesus Christ, when he shed his blood, provided a sacrifice for our sin. Even though we deserve the wrath of God, the judgment of God, the wages of sin is death, Jesus says, I've got you covered by my blood. I want to appease the wrath of the Father and to give you forgiveness and a covering. And so 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for he, God, made him, Jesus, to be sin for us, who knew no sin. Jesus knew no sin, yet we may be made the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ took upon himself your sin and mine. And when he shed his blood, he became the covering, the propitiation for our sins. So when someone accepts Christ as Savior, their sins are covered. Now listen to me. You can climb up the steps of churches until your knees bleed. That will not cover your sin. You can give money until it hurts. That will not cover your sin. We do not work our way into heaven or cover our own sin. Jesus has it covered, but we must believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so our sins are covered when we turn to Christ, and we are saved from wrath when we turn to Christ. Romans 5 and 9, much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath to come. There's a lot of fear in this world, and there's a lot of fear about how this world will end. And God says, know this, when you trust my Son as your Savior, that you will be saved from the wrath to come and you will be given eternal life. Your sins are covered, you're saved from the wrath to come, and you will receive eternal life. Now, if you have your notes, look at 1 John 5:13. It says this, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Here we see a promise in the Bible. He that has the Son has life. Here it says that you may know that you have everlasting life. Friend, do you know that today? Do you know that you've been covered? Do you know that you have everlasting life? We've all seen the fragile nature of this world in which we live. Most of us have seen someone slip off into eternity this year. This is the most important question. Like I said, if I had just 20 minutes with you in my office or in your living room, this is what I'd want to talk with you about, because we must prepare. Do you know that you have everlasting life? The Bible says you can know it. Now, people like to talk about vaccinations and so forth. And let me just say this about the vaccinations. I'm really thankful for every scientist that worked so hard to get them ready so fast. And we've all watched the news as they've rolled out, and some they've said are 95% efficacious, some are 94% efficacious, some are maybe 86%, some are other percentages given. But let me tell you about the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ is 100% efficacious to cover your sin and mine. When you accept Jesus Christ as Savior, you can know that you have everlasting life. When you believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you have a guarantee from the Bible that you can know that you have everlasting life. And when we take this vaccine, and we're hoping that it's a good one, and most of the time it has been, praise God for that. But what I'm telling you is there is no doubt in the Bible that when someone turns to Jesus, God's Son, that God is pleased with what Jesus did on the cross, and that you are covered by faith when you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. And so as we close this morning, how does someone receive that cure? We all, I'm sure, would agree that we're sinners. We all have a need, don't we? But how do you get that cure? How do you get the covering? And how can you know that you have a home in heaven? Well, I want to share very quickly a verse or two, and we'll be done. Acts chapter 20 and verse 21 says this, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. It's kind of a simultaneous thing, salvation. Salvation comes when someone repents, that is, they turn from whatever else they were trusting, they turn from a life that is against God, and they turn in faith to Jesus Christ. Repentance toward God, a spirit of remorse perhaps, a sense that I am a sinner, and I turn to Jesus Christ as the one who can cover my sin, And I recognize it's not a church that I'm turning to. It's not a prophet that I'm turning to. It's not a teacher. It is Jesus Christ, God's Son. And when someone has that conviction of heart and they turn and believe on Christ, they are saved, the Bible says. I've spoken to lots of county health and county supervisor and our mayor and so many others throughout this last year, especially in the early portion of the pandemic. And our mayor, we spoke probably once a week for a good stretch there, maybe more than that. He was and is. He's been very concerned for our community. And on January the 1st, I called our mayor, Rex Parris, and I said, Rex, I have a friend who might be able to help us with this. And I told him about Franklin Graham. I told him about Samaritan's Purse. And he said, any help we could get would be great. And I called Franklin and I said, Franklin, I said, I know you were mistreated for your faith by New York City. Some of you may have seen that in the news. They were, because of their faith and their belief regarding home and marriage, they were treated very, very poorly. I said, I think if you'd come to Lancaster, California, if you'd consider us, that our city would treat you very kindly and be very appreciative of it. And most of you know the story. I mean, just within 4 days, they had flown a DC-8 jet with a field hospital that was placed right outside of the Antelope Valley Hospital, and they were able to tend to many, many patients. I think, Ed, this was referred to as the fifth floor for a while, if I remember correctly. And it was just a wonderful moment of collaborative teamwork in our community to help others who were sick. And last week, I was preaching in North Carolina, and I took some time after the meeting, and I drove over to see the Samaritan's Purse operation, and I spent some time with Franklin Graham there, and we had lunch, Terry and I, with he and his wife, Jane, and we were talking about America. He knows a little bit about our country and what's going on, and we were talking about the spiritual needs of this land. He showed me a little video that he's going to be putting out on news channels with the gospel. And he said, I want to mention the blood atonement of Jesus and the resurrection. And he said, do you know something else? He said, Paul, I really think we need to get back in this country to the principle of repentance. In fact, he said, I feel the emphasis on repentance is necessary now more than ever. He said, people need to turn from whatever else they're trusting in. You see, if we don't have a heart of repentance, it would be easy to say, well, I'm a pastor. I'll go to heaven. I'm a good guy. I'm a cop. I help other people. I'm a surgeon. I've saved some lives. Surely I will go to heaven because of what I do or what I try to do. And yet the Bible says, no, all of our righteousness is as filthy rags. It's not of our works. It's by his grace. And so being saved is really just coming to that place where you say, I can't save myself. I'm not good enough, and I turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. I must have a heart repenting of sin, confessing of sin, and then finally, I must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 10 and verse 9, but if thou shalt confess with thy mouth and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Jesus from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Let me say that one again. If you will believe in your heart, so it can't just be lip service, but you really believe this, and you'll say it with your mouth, Lord, I confess to you that I am a sinner, and you died and you rose again, and no one else did that, and I believe you're God's Son, and you died for me, and you've got me covered. I ask you to come into my life and save me. When someone says that from their heart, the Bible says, whoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's the gift that God provides through Jesus. Now, when I was in the hospital, I can't say that I completely understood all the science behind BAM. That's what I'm going to just call it, BAM. I tried to understand it. You can ask my doctor. I like to Google stuff and figure stuff out, but I didn't understand it all. Look at here. I just knew I was sick. I knew I didn't feel well. And I made a decision that day, sitting in that green chair, to put my arm out and to take some medicine to get some help. You may not know all 66 books of the Bible. You may not even be able to say the Ten Commandments. It's okay. If you believe that you are a sinner and that Jesus Christ did something that was never done before, he lived a perfect life, he died, he rose again, and if you would be willing to turn to him in childlike faith and say, Lord Jesus, I recognize that I'm a sinner, and I ask you to come into my heart, the Bible says he will come in, he will cleanse you, he will cover you, and he'll give you a home in heaven. You see, I guess it can best be illustrated with this illustration of a man who so wants to know that he's with the Lord for eternity. But every man and every woman here must decide, who are we going to trust to come to God? Don't trust a church. Don't trust me as a man. Don't trust religion. But I can recommend to you to trust the perfectly sinless Son of God. And when you do, you too will be saved by grace. You will receive the cure for the sin problem when you accept Christ as Savior. It doesn't mean you'll never sin again. How many of you have noticed Christians sometimes mess up? But what it means, God has you covered by his grace and by his love. And so I want you to think about this with me. Why so much separation? Why? Because of sin. What's the cure for that sin? The cure is the justification, the propitiation of Jesus Christ, and then the condition of the saved. Well, we're covered and we're heaven bound through Jesus Christ. I pray that many today will seek that covering in Christ.